show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora!
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land. I would also like to pay respect to elders both past and present of the Eora Nation. So my name is Nicole Beck and I'll be taking you through until midday this morning, colouring this hour with all things arts and culture as per usual. I've got a lot of guests on the program today, so it'll be quite a busy one. I'm chatting about two different Batch Festival shows later on, Sauvage Wild, as well as You've Got Males. They're both very different but equally interesting, and they kind of reflect the ever-eclectic Batch lineup. We spoke about Batch a few weeks ago with the director, so I'm excited to get into some of the specific shows on the lineup as that's just around the corner. I'm also talking about Fur Coat Club's long weekend party, which is taking over the Red Rattler tomorrow. It's an all-day celebration for queers and their peers, consisting of music, art, and performance. So I'll be joined by Sophie Forrest, who is featured on the lineup, to chat a little bit more about that. But first up, I'm talking about an event that invites you to the cinema at 10 p.m. where you'll stay there until 7:30 a.m. the next morning. I'll be joined by the curator of All Night Sin Love Inn, which is an overnight film extravaganza designed to change your cinematic worldview. And that is coming up just around the corner. I'm very excited about that. So to get us there, here's a track from German band Hushmos. They released their second album yesterday. I unfortunately can't really pronounce the record, but it's their second album and you can look that up yourself. This is their track Meant to Be. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now. Thank you. tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. That there was a track from Hushmas entitled Meant to Be. So right now, it's a pretty exciting time for Sydney as our biggest film festival lineup is just about to be dropped around the corner on the 8th of May. So to get you excited about what's to come, we have the pleasure of chatting about something featured on said lineup entitled All Night Sin Love In, a film extravaganza. And by all night, I mean from 10 p.m. right through until 7:30 a.m. the next day. So I'm joined by Jenny to talk us through this event and her selection behind Sign All Night Sign Love. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
So this event celebrates your 30th Sydney Film Festival, which is just an incredible achievement. I wanted to ask why you chose to commemorate your time at the festival with this kind of program.
Well, I wanted to actually look at the things that made me really fall in love with cinema, but also realise that cinema could be very different things. Growing up, cinema was pretty tame. It was mainly English language. It was pretty safe. It was often Hollywood or UK. I grew up in England. And so going to London and seeing all these different kind of films, different languages, different forms, I thought this was a world of cinema I had never seen before. And for me, it was such an eye-opener. And I wanted to celebrate my love of cinema in that way. So things like David Lynch's Eraserhead, which was just mind-blowing when I first saw it, and I think it still is. I don't think it's lost any of its punch. Things like Oshima's In the Realm of the Senses, I'd never seen such sensuality and violence as well on screen. It's a kind of violent love, if you like. And Oh Lucky Man, Malcolm McDowell in a Lindsay Anderson film, which is totally surreal and wonderful. And then John Waters with Female Trouble, which is such wonderful trash spectacular. So it was kind of like a way of celebrating that cinema, but that kind of cinema that is just so different.
So you've mentioned the films that you're screening as part of the program. There's only four of them. So was that a really difficult process to try and narrow films that changed your worldview to just four?
I had such a long list and I kept crossing out, scribbling and shuffling things to the top and going, no, you couldn't watch that at 2 a.m. so that was really hard. And also there was many of the things I used to go to a repertory cinema in London. I mean, it was a big era for repertory cinema. And I used to go to all-night Clint Eastwood and all-night Steve Martin and all-night comedy. And, they were wonderful experiences too. But for me, that didn't sort of say that was cinema that was different. So for these four films were really different moments for me. And, of course, I programmed the documentaries at the Sydney Film Festival. So I haven't put a documentary in because they're just, for me, not all-night things.
Definitely. So was it really difficult as well, talking about the curation process, in ordering them? As you mentioned, like, you couldn't have that at 2 a.m. Was that a difficult process as well?
No. I think once I'd kind of got it down to the final few, the order was pretty easy. There's going to be little intervals, and hopefully you'll have time to grab a beer and maybe a piece of chocolate cake. Mm-hmm. The cinemas in London at the time they seemed to think everybody survived off carrot cake or chocolate cake at all-night screenings. So I think that's an important part of all-night screenings, is you have to have sustenance. So I'm like, yeah, you can do that with the right amount of sustenance. You can get this mix of films, and you can come out in the morning thinking, the cinema can be amazing.
Yeah. So obviously you've chosen the all night format. Why was that your option rather than showing these films in succession across time? What do you think it is about this distinctive way of showing cinema that is so special?
Sure. So London in the early 80s, there was a lot of repertory cinemas around and they did a lot of all-night screenings. And so it was a way, when I was at uni at that time, a lot of people discovered cinema. There was barely video shops at that time when you think about it. So there certainly wasn't online streaming or anything. So this was the way that you could do kind of back-to-back movies. This was the only way you could do it, that you could really binge. and you could binge on things with a crowd of people. And there was something very magical about that. And I think film festivals echo that too. Sydney Film Festival, you know, at the State Theatre, people go all day and they come out in the intervals and they go, wow, that's amazing. What's the next one? And I really like that feeling. And I love that audience kind of sense that you're all going on the same journey.
Yeah, so because it's overnight as well, do you expect or anticipate that people will kind of build a community in between all the films?
Oh, I do hope so.
Yeah. And so as you mentioned before, you program the documentary, short films and First Nation programs for the Sydney Film Festival. Can you give us any hints what we might be seeing there?
Oh, all I can say is I think documentaries have had the most brilliant run in recent years. There have been, and people, you know, about 10 years ago said it's the golden age of documentaries. Well, I don't think it's petered or tarnished in the slightest. And there's a pretty amazing lineup of documentaries coming to Sydney in June. And I also think this is a very strong year for First Nation films. I love the storytelling that comes across, the different visuals, the different stories, the different cultural mix. And that's really important to the festival. It's also, I think, really important to our audience. So there's going to be some extraordinary things to see. I also think that the idea of having an all-night cinema in the middle of winter as well, there's nothing more cosy in June in Sydney than a cinema, I think.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show, Jenny.
My pleasure.
Thank you. So that was Jenny Naber from the Sydney Film Festival talking about All Night Sin Love In, which is an all-night film extravaganza at the Dendy Newtown. This is happening on June 8th to 9th as part of the Sydney Film Festival. The full festival lineup will be released on Wednesday, May 8th, and this won't be the last you'll hear of it from us. So passes and subscriptions are already on sale. We'll put all the links to that on our show page and as well as to All Night Sin Love In, so you can find out more there. Right now, I'm going to take a track from No Name. This is her new one, Song 32. You are tuned into So Hot right now.
Cigarillo, I'm shaking up with the trees. How I keep the leaf in the middle. I'm more than these hotel rentals and dental bills adding up. I'm the Kennedys out for lunch with a preacher martyr the king. I'm Cardi's engagement ring. I'm America showing off. I'm Viacom, Viacom. I'm Chappelle and Pelly Pelly and rapping like Dialon. Spell it like Dialon. Gave my body to Adam. He told me to lie for him. Apple wasn't the apple. The truest sin was a pussy. I'm patriarchy on Sunday. Don't push me. I'm Viacom. Y'all niggas got Diddy money. Don't push me. I'm Adam Bomb. I'm Obama pushing the button. And Libya, Pakistan. Humanly a hypocrite. The sinner and the civilian. The pettiest that it gets. I'm America at its best. Yeah, I'm America at its best. Boom, boom. No, 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 no. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay. With the no names. Start to get the money from writing the haiku. Everybody on me, I'm looking just like you. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay, with the no name. If you smoking dope, then y'all shawty can come too. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay, with the no name. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay. Riddle me happy, I'm lonely hysteria. I'm on gunman outside the parking lot, this is America. I'm everything that you're not, like Kendrick before his prime. I'm the ticking inside his watch and the underdog. You forgot God, privilege and money. Part of me buried in the earth, part of me chasing my money. Part of what artificial trappings, y'all can't take nothing from me. I'm going dummy for dummy. If all my godliness is measured by the way that y'all love me, I'm free. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay, with the no name. Start to get the money from writing the haiku. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay, with the no name. Everybody on me, I'm looking just like you. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay, with the no name. If you smoking dope, then y'all shawty can come too. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay, with the no name. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay.
SER 107.3.
We want to hear from you.
2SER is all about serving our community, and we want to know your thoughts, comments, and ideas to help shape our future.
We'd like you to take part in a short online survey that will help us get to know you better.
To have your voice heard, head to 2scr.com/survey and fill out the questions before May 1st.
Thanks for being part of the 2SER community.
Be a fool now, who's gonna get in line? First one to go, first one to put away. Let's go to moonlight, then they will never find. Let's go alone, free from the mother mind. Come on, alone, 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 alone.
Solange with her track Junie. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture with myself, Nicole Beck. I was last chatting about something off the Sydney Film Festival program. If you want to have a listen back to that, you can find it on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website. But right now, I'm talking about a very special 10-hour celebration of music, art and live performance, which is taking over the Red Rattler Theatre in Marrickville tomorrow, brought to you by Fur Coat Club Party People. This Gender Bendo Discotheque is an all-day celebration for queers and their peers. I am joined by DJ and promoter Sophie Forrest in the studio today to talk us through the event in a little bit more detail. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. So Fur Coat Club has been throwing some of Sydney's most inclusive, unique and epic parties. Can you tell us a little bit more about who and what Fur Coat Club is and how it all got started and how maybe you got involved?
Yep. So Fur Coat, there's four of us. It's myself, Nick Spurway, Sam Connor and Maddie Bickett. So we've all been DJing and producing in Sydney for a while, and we sat down last year and we kind of didn't see a hole in Sydney, but there's a lot of techno and a lot of that kind of stuff, but not necessarily a lot of people pushing a very happy kind of inclusive. I mean, you got places like Kooky and all that kind of stuff, but it was the intention to kind of make a space where everyone is welcome, regardless of who you are in any kind of factor. So it's all about inclusivity, but we're a very community-focused group, so we're raising money for a charity every single event. Yeah, I mean, it's very much a group effort, so we all kind of come from very different backgrounds musically, and we've come together to kind of just provide something happy in considering how sad Sydney can be a lot of the time, so...
Yeah, awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about who's on the lineup, musically speaking, and we'll get into art?
Yep. So the first party we did was just kind of focused on us as the, you know, residents and stuff. But this one we're doing very much a trans and femme-focused lineup. So we've got Joe Christie, who's an amazing local DJ, and also Lorna Clarkson, who's just a sort of queen of Sydney anyway. So I'm really excited to, being trans, kind of have a trans-focused lineup, because you don't see a lot of trans-focused lineups in Sydney. So that's super important for me. And it's also nice that the boys are 100% backing every aspect of it. So it's very nice to be able to do that and kind of provide a space for what amounts to a minority in the queer community in Sydney. So performance-wise, it's going to be pretty special. And all the names are up there. Dylan, Diane, it's going to be amazing.
Is that like D-Y-A-N?
Yeah,
he's helped on the show before.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he is amazing.
I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't seen him play. So it's going to be a nice mix of disco, kind of funky house. It might get a bit kind of breakbeaty towards the end. It's going to be a nice mix. It's also at the Rattler, which is a community venue. And yeah, generally just very community focused. Which is, it's nice. I mean, there's a lot of people running amazing parties, but not a lot of people doing necessarily what we're trying to do. So.
Do you feel like you in Sydney attend a lot of parties that have an exclusive kind of energy?
Sometimes. I think being queer in Sydney, and then especially being trans in Sydney, you are a minority. So when you do go to a lot of places, you don't necessarily always feel comfortable in certain spaces. But at the same time, most of the parties I go to, super inclusive, and everyone's really, you know, lovely, and like Sash and Club Mints, all the Mint stuff's always really nice. Kooky, obviously, there's a lot of, yeah, really good parties. It's kind of rare to go out and feel very out of place, which is nice, because you sometimes feel that way, but generally speaking, the whole Sydney music scene's been super kind of welcoming and...
Can you tell me a little bit more about how art is being incorporated into Furco Club?
So we do a lot of our own artwork and banners and stuff like that. And we've also been working, doing a lot of recordings, like visual recordings, which we've then put through some digital stuff. So we're doing all the visuals from scratch, which will be cool. But I think people don't talk about music in the same way that they talk about maybe something like fine art or visual arts and stuff like that. So... I think the artistic merit is in the music just as much as in the visual stuff, but we're also not so much a visual collective. But it would be nice to incorporate some more live painting stuff down the line and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, mainly just the visuals, which is it kind of been interesting. We bought a VHS and we've been like doing very analog and then recording that and then just like smashing it on the computer. It's been interesting. So,
And you mentioned Dion, but was there any other kind of, what can we expect from the performance element of things?
It's going to be a mix between, I would say, pop performance and also drag and just kind of gender bending weirdness. It should be fun.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I also heard on the grapevine that you're supporting Vanessa Amorosi at Vivid with Heaps Gay. What else is coming up for Furco Club, and will there be any gigs that we can see you at in the future?
So we got a couple coming up. We played one on Thursday with the Furco. We had two, which was fun. But we also have, the Vivid party, which will be fun with Vanessa Amorosi, which is like pretty special. I'm looking forward to hearing Shine being belted out. That's going to be fun at Town Hall as well. But separately, we're all pretty busy. Nick's flying down to Melbourne tonight to play Barber, and then he's coming back up, and then we've got a set up. Next week, I have Sash on the Sunday, and then the following week, I'm doing a back-to-back with Nick. We do a thing called Sweaty, which is like this big queer disco kind of fun party thing. So we're playing at Cafe Lounge the following week, and then we've got Heaps Gay, and then Vivid as well, and then another one in Hobart I can't mention. But yeah, so we've got a couple coming up.
You got interesting.
Yeah, I can't say anything. Hobart, you can't I can't say about that one.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. I hope that tomorrow is out.
Thank you so much. Everyone have a great weekend. Be safe. And thanks again.
No problem. So we were just talking about fur coat clubs, long weekend day party. It's on tomorrow from 2 p.m. till 12 a.m. Tickets are available from Satellite Cafe or Eventbrite. $1 from each ticket will go to the charity Dress for Success, which helps to improve employability for women in the workplace. Right now, I'm going to play a track from Sydney's Pool Room. This is a new song released by him yesterday. This is If I Call. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Pick up the phone.
is from Sydney band Baby Beef, Just Relax 2018. One of my favourite small bands out of Sydney. They played Bad Friday yesterday, actually, which I didn't attend, but some of my producers did and said it was a lot of fun. So right now I'm talking about Sauvage. So who is Sauvage? A wild woman, a myth. Anissa Viette, writer and performer of Sauvage, is on the show to tell us a little bit more. So this is a performance mashup of primal female storytelling, drums, belly dancing, physical theatre and song. So Anissa, can you please tell us what that might mean?
Okay. That means that once the audience enter into the space, they enter into a myth about the patriarchy and wild women's place within it. So so essentially we're drawing on our physical theatre training and experience, and also our desire to create our own form of theatre from the perspective of women of colour. So we're really trying to listen to our own innate theatrical language without depending upon naturalism to share a story. And in relation to the myth, I mean, as a writer, I really wanted to... So before writing Sauvage, I asked myself the question, what am I as a woman without my cultural and religious background? Who am I as a storyteller? And what I found through researching that question was that women were the primary storytellers in mythical times. And I found that myth was the only way that I could actually tap into the collective dream, the collective consciousness of what all women are experiencing. And through myth, I would be able to tap into my own primal self as a female storyteller. I don't mean to sound like floaty or whatever. I think researching it for so long and loving the research as well. So essentially, yeah, it's going to be a lovely piece of theatre that's going to hit you in the gut and hit you through your body rather than through an intellectual lens at first. I do find a lot of theatre in Sydney does hit the mind first, rather than the heart and the gut. Yeah.
Great. So you mentioned myths and how Sauvage is a myth about the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. Is there kind of a narrative in that you can elaborate on, or a thread there?
Yeah, I can. Okay. So, I don't know how much to give away.
A little bit.
I'll give a little bit. Okay. So we begin the myth with a king who's living under a sea of sorrow, but he can't see it. And the sea of sorrow is the sea of sorrow that women have experienced for centuries. And for me, that was a metaphor of what we're living through today. It's become a norm for women to suffer, and also for men to be disengaged from their femininity. And then from there, we see him praying for guidance to be tougher. He's locked himself away in this cave for quite some time. And then a genie appears. And that genie, I don't know how much to say, it's so hard. It's similar, what I'll do is I'll actually reference it. So it's similar to Arabian Nights in its sort of world. And the genie begins to tell him stories that he needs to hear to heal.
Right. I think that's a good taster.
It was so hard because there's so many layers to a myth. So yeah. I was like, oh, I don't want to give too much away.
So in the show, there's English, Arabic and Spanish. Yes. What's the significance of language in Sauvage?
Okay. So the language, it's drawn from my real life relationship with these languages. So when I was younger, I could never speak Arabic, even though I'm from a Lebanese background. And I found that when I moved to Spain in order to study physical theatre and be with the lover I was in love with at the time, I found that once I learned how to speak Spanish, I could suddenly speak Arabic. And I found it really strange. I was like, how did that open up a part of my brain that was closed for 23 years? And then once I began to research it, I realized that the Spanish and Arabic language is quite intertwined. in the 13th century in Andalusia and before the Moors sort of took over Spain, the Spanish and Arabic language were... They were a way of life in a way. Like, we've actually influenced each other far more than I could have ever imagined. And I did find that when I lived in Spain, it felt like home. And that was really strange for me. I was like, why does this feel natural? Why has this come? So, yeah, that's kind of where the languages have come in. And I have found in researching Sauvage, Andalusia is a big inspiration. For example, on the poster image, you can see I'm wearing henna. That was an impulse because I always had the question of what's a wild woman without, you know, taking a photo of a woman running naked through a forest? Like, what is that? And I found that whenever I've put henna on my hands, I've felt powerful. It's made no sense to me. And then when I researched Andalusia, I found out that in the 13th century, Muslim women used to wear henna, not for weddings. They just used to wear it as a form of dress. So, yeah, it's all interrelated somehow.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Lots of layers coming through here.
Yes.
One thing I wanted to unpack is this idea of wild. So the title of the show is Sauvage and then in brackets wild because it's a translation. Is that kind of?
Yes, at the moment, yes. And I think in exploring this piece, I've been exploring what a wild woman is and what does wild mean. What I've found is curiosity is a big part of being a wild creature, where you don't block your curiosity. You allow yourself to venture into the unknown. That's kind of where it's sitting at the moment.
And I've also read that Sauvage is a tribute to those fighting to return back to their natural skin. Mm-hmm. So what inspired or motivated this exploration?
My personal journey, definitely.
It's a theme.
It's a theme. And, you know, it's interesting. For example, my name, Anisa Villette, is something that I've created to give myself freedom. Because I've found that our culture, our religious background, our cultural and religious background, and also the way that we've been socialized, often it provides us with narratives that may not be true to who we actually are. And I think that the journey to returning to our own natural skin can sometimes be a difficult one. It can be a pleasurable one. It can be an incredibly chaotic one. And it's often a private journey. It's one that we don't chat about very much. And for me, I'd like to honour all men and women who are trying to return to who they feel they truly are, sans judgment, sans fear, if that makes sense. Yeah.
So is that the kind of experience you want to evoke through this work for audiences, to feel like a sense of comfort in a way?
Yes, I'd love them to feel a sense of relief that we have been able to tap into their collective pain or dreams or feelings. I'm not, especially as an artist, I'm not interested in telling stories from a particular background or a particular demographic. I really want to touch on the universal. And that's part of the reason why we're really drawn to primal forms, because we used to listen to stories in that way. You know, it never used to be about the stage design, the set design, the intellectualism behind the writing, you know.
So do you think Sauvage kind of strips itself from those layers?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And that's the scary thing. Like, I'm terrified. I'm not even going to pretend. I don't know. Like, a big thing that the creative team have been chatting about, because we're all women of colour, we're all from Western Sydney, and we're all like, oh, you know, we won't know what it is until it's in front of an audience. Mm. We don't have any idea. Yeah. Openly with our hearts and just see what the feedback is with 100%. Them.
Well, yeah. I'm excited to see how it all works out.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks.
No problem. So I've just been chatting with Anisa, writer and performer of Sauvage. You can catch the performance from the 8th to the 11th of May. It'll be at the Griffins Theatre Company as part of the extensive Batch Festival lineup. All the details will be up on our website, so make sure you check it out. Up next, I'm talking about another Batch Festival show, but to get you there, I'm going to play a track. This is one from James Blake. You are tuned into So Hot right now. ¶¶
Duo Underworld returned to Sydney Opera House for their only Australian shows at Vivid Live. One of modern music's most crucial electronic acts, the Grammy nominees bring back decades of dance floor across four nights of pure, unadulterated enjoyment. Book now for Underworld at Vivid Live, May 31 to June 3 at sydneyoperahouse.com. Sponsors of 2SER.
You are tuned into 2SER 107.3 and you are listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of art and culture. That there was a track from James Blake, Life Round Here, off his second album, Overgrown. So right now I've got my last story for you and I want to ask, can authentic human emotion prevail in the age of the internet or are we too invested in cyberspace? So part performance art, part theatre, You've Got Mail subverts show, You've Got Mail subverts the classic Hollywood tropes and explores cyber feminism and how we interact with cyberspace. It's also a remake of the 1998 rom-com You've Got Mail that stars Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. This is a show presented through Batch as well, like my last story, and I'm joined by the co-creator Ange Collins on the show to chat to me a little bit more about what that all means.
Hello, thank you for having me.
No problem. So the show, as I mentioned, is described as part performance art and part theatre. How do these two forms interact in You've Got Mail?
Well, it's a weird pitch, I'll give you that. basically we've rewritten the beloved 1998 rom-com You've Got Mail with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, but we've kind of, me and my co-creator Sarah kind of We both love that movie, but we were also like, the gender politics in this movie don't really hold up.
Yeah,
in 2019. Shocking. Like any rom-com.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's really scary when you rewatch. You're like, wait, what?
You're like, what? He's like cyber-stalking her.
Yeah.
It's like catfishing her. So we butted our heads together, like figured out like an alternative movie, basically, and we've rewritten it for the stage. So we've popped it on at Bondi Feast before, and this is going to be its second run at Batch Festival. You can expect, like, weird comedy, like, dumb memes, like, beautiful moments. And if you're a fan of the movie, then you'll love it. If you have no idea what the movie is about, you're going to love it as well.
So why that movie? Because as we mentioned, so many rom-coms have these very confusing gender tropes. Was that, like, particularly profound in your earlier life?
I think it was for Sarah Hadley, my co-creator, and I enjoyed the movie, and also we both share a love of Meg Ryan. And we think that Meg Ryan she's such a, like, typical rom-com star, like, you know, When Harry Met Sally, all those other ones. But then she kind of dropped off the face of the earth after this particular interview with Parkinson, where he was heaps rude to her.
Oh.
So
what was the content? Like, why was he rude?
I think partially because of the plastic surgery, and partly because she was, like, a woman and she was getting older, and he was just quite aggressive towards her. And ever since then, she's, like, you know, not really had all that many roles. So we really were kind of passionate about making Meg Ryan, the idea of Meg Ryan, into this feminist triumphant icon, and, like, giving her a bit of justice in
power.
2019. Yeah, that's it. And also just making a fun and dumb piece of performance-y theatre along the way.
Totally. So can you explain how this narrative, you've rewritten it, but it's all about the internet and cyberspace. So how does that kind of intersect in the film's original narrative?
So the premise of the movie is that Meg Ryan is looking for love on the internet, and Tom Hanks, who is a book tycoon, also happens to be looking for love on the internet. It's one of those classic rom-com tropes where they miss each other narrowly. They're, like, walking down the street. They don't know each other, but online they have this really amazing connection. And Meg Ryan also owns a small independent bookstore. So things go along, hilarious mishaps happen, and Tom Hanks kind of, like, partly creepily begins to, like, insert himself into Meg Ryan's life to, like, ensure that she ends up with him, all the while, like, threatening to take over her bookstore. And at the end of the film,
but they don't know that each
but they
other.
Don't they oh, don't know each other in real
right.
life. Yeah,
okay.
so
do they have, like, funny, like, e names or whatever?
They do. Yeah, it's like Shop Girl, and
oh,
I think yeah stuff like that. So it's
classic.
The whole ham, like, the full package. And at the end of the movie, Tom Hanks, his, like, big huge capitalist bookstore chain, takes over her small business, and then she just kind of, like, submits to him and, like, falls in love with him. So it's, like, really weird. It is a great movie. Love you, Nora Ephron, rest in peace. But so we kind of, like, in our narrative, one of the principal, like, elements that we've changed is that we've personified the character of the internet. So the internet in our version kind of acts as this force that kind of seeks to derail Tom Hanks's creepy behaviour and also support Meg Ryan in her cyber feminist journey.
Right, so Meg Ryan is, instead of a submissive character, she becomes cyber feminist.
She's totally autonomous.
So by cyber feminist, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, it's actually a movement from the 90s. And there was a really big influential group called Laboria Cubonics in Australia that kind of pioneered the cyber feminist movement. And it basically associates being a woman with being an android and being fluid and being able to, like, subvert power, traditional forms of power because of the use of the internet. So we kind of, not to get too theory heavy on you, but we kind of do insert a lot of those ideas in really fun and interesting ways into the text as well.
Yeah, so is there much of a commentary on, obviously, current relationships with the internet, considering it's based off, like, the 1998?
We've kept it really nostalgic for aesthetic purposes and for comedy purposes.
It's a great aesthetic.
Huge cell phones, like, pagers, beepers, all that kind of thing. So we're kind of, like, looking back retrospectively to kind of the early days of the internet, and we kind of meditate on what what the internet meant back then and how anonymity was kind of taken for granted and not a lot of the, like, issues and concerns that we have about identity on the internet, are in there. But you can really draw threads between today and back in the 90s. But, yeah, we haven't really modernized it in any way.
Yeah, I like that idea because it's already a lot of stuff about the internet. I think that's a particularly interesting part of that time is the use of the internet and how it contrasts this time. So it's nice to draw the distinction.
Definitely.
What are you hoping audiences take away from experiencing You've Got Mail?
I think, to be honest, like, we're on at 10 p.m, so we're in the late slot at Batch. So I think, like, if people just come along not knowing a whole lot about what they're going to expect and then just have the time of their life, even if they're not usually theatre people, like, I think that the show is just, like, a riot of, like, silliness and fun, but also, like, this kind of darker meaning behind it all. So I hope that they just have, like, a really wild 10 p.m. theatre experience, to be honest. It's going to be pretty weird.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Well, good. Thanks for having me.
No worries. So that was Ange Collins, the co-creator of You've Got Mail. You can catch this show at the Griffin Theatre Company as part of the Batch Festival on the 26th and the 27th of April, which is coming up pretty soon. So we'll put all the links to tickets on our show page if you search for So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website. Right now I'm going to play a track from Jungle. This is off their latest album. Their first album with the self-titled name, Jungle. This is Busy Earning.
are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of art and culture. We are nearly out of time, so I just wanted to let you know that if you miss anything from the show today, you can find us on the 2SER website if you look for So Hot Right Now. We also have social media, including Instagram and Facebook, which we're trying to get better at using. And we link a few things, like including the events that we talk about and just our podcasting. So listen back to anything there. We also do like a weekly wrap-up of all things that you can check out in Sydney. So that's also there for your viewing pleasure. And that's about all from me. So I hope that everyone has a wonderful and safe long weekend. I'm going to play a little bit of a track to get you through to the next show, which is starting in 15 seconds. So you are tuned into So Hot Right Now and have a great weekend.
You've been the best at times to walk me through my darkest days. What must have turned